Father, we thank you. We bless your name for today. We give you praise. We give you glory for your mighty hand upon us. We thank you, O Lord, for the opportunity to sit even at your feet to study your word. Be glorified, O Lord, even as we fellowship. Speak to us, O Lord. Father, we pray that your spirit will minister to every heart. We pray that your word will transform every mind and that, Lord, self will be destroyed even as you are exalted. In Jesus' name do we pray. Amen. Amen. Turn to someone, tell the person, welcome to church service again. So, from last week, we began the series on the book of Isaiah. We began the series on the book of Isaiah, and we started with an introduction to Isaiah, and we focused on Christ-centeredness through Scripture. The importance of reading Scripture with the lens of Jesus Christ. And today, we are going to a part two. That is the part two of Isaiah. And we are going to be looking at the theology in the book of Isaiah. We are going to be looking at the theology in the book of Isaiah. And our key scripture is Isaiah 46, 9 to 10. Isaiah 46 from verse 9 to 10. And I read, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purpose." In the light of today's sermon, we are going to be looking at understanding the person of God, the nature and the character of God as highlighted in the book of Isaiah. And one critical foundation as highlighted in this theme scripture is the supremacy and the sovereignty of God. That the Lord, in fact, overrides everything from past, from future, and even in the present. The idea that the Lord, by his own understanding, has got a will, has got a counsel, has got a plan, not just for the things that we might perceive are important, but for every aspect of his creation. The joy of the Lord is transcendent, even beyond the place of our salvation, to the place of our walk in him. God has a plan for you. God called you to a place in him where you would fulfill every single plan he has for you through Christ Jesus. It is very important. And even as we do a short review, you can see from the screen the total overlook of the book of Isaiah. The total overlook of the book of Isaiah. And I made mention that Isaiah is actually called the gospel in the Old Testament. People often refer to the book of Isaiah as the gospel of Isaiah. Because similar to the Bible having 66 books, the book of Isaiah has got 66 chapters. Similar to the Bible having two divisions, the book of Isaiah also has two divisions. The first division highlighting the law, obedience, and consequence of disobedience. And the second aspect, similar to the New Testament, highlighting the place of hope, the place where in Christ there is hope. Isaiah is actually the first when it comes to the books of the major prophets. The books of the major prophets. And I remember saying this, they are not called major prophets because of importance. They are called major prophets because of the volume of their works. The volume of their works. Isaiah is one of the major books that points to the salvation of Christ. It mentions salvation more than 25 times compared to the 7 times mentioned in all the other 3 major prophetic books. So it's very important to understand this. And I highlighted that the key verse in the book of Isaiah is Isaiah 53 verse 5. Still pointing to the messianic prophecies, that is to Christ. He says, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed." Also, we see the essence of Christ in the book of Isaiah. how Isaiah prophesied of the birth of Christ, prophesied of the suffering of Christ, and prophesied with reference to the reign of Christ. But another aspect of last Sunday's sermon that really was of grave importance was the Christ-centeredness in reading the Bible. Do not just read the Bible as though a historical document or as though some sort of intellectual document. The idea of the Bible is first for relationship, second for growth, and third for guidance. It's very, very important for us to understand this. And for the Bible to be effective in our lives, we must seek to understand the line that joins every scripture, that joins every book, that joins every verse. And that line is Jesus Christ. So I highlighted this. The idea of Christ-centered reading refers to the centrality of Christ and God's redemptive plan in all of Scripture and biblical revelations. There is one major problem of Scripture. That major problem of Scripture, sin. And there is one solution provided by Scripture, and that solution is Jesus Christ. It establishes the unity of Scripture and affirms the centrality of Christ in all things, including our lives as believers. So when you look at the Old Testament, you can see Christ within the Old Testament as shadows, as types, and as expressions. When you go to the New Testament, you see that every verse has to be highlighted in the place of the death, the resurrection, and the coming of Christ. It's very important to understand that for every verse, every book to make sense, it ought to be looked at through the personality and the finished work of Jesus Christ. So even as we looked at the place of Christ-centeredness in the book of Isaiah, we saw some types and shadows and figures of Christ even highlighted in the book of Isaiah. We saw the mention of Emmanuel. God is with us. We saw the messianic titles, the mighty warrior, the counselor, the prince of peace. We saw the place of him being the root of Jesse. We saw the place of him being the branch of the Lord, the place of him being the light of the world. We saw him being the servant of the Lord. We saw him being the man of sorrows. We also saw him being the righteous servant of God. All these things prophesied way before the coming of the Lord. Way before the coming, 700 years before the coming of the Lord, Isaiah spoke of who was to come and the things he was to do. And then we understood this, that all of Scripture speaks about Jesus because he said so. Luke chapter 24, verse 27. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 to 7, he says, all things were made for him and through him. He is preeminent over all things. Christ holds everything together. From our lives even to Scripture, Christ holds everything together. So today, we'll be looking at biblical theology, the idea of theology in the essence of Isaiah. What is theology? When we say theology, we speak about the idea of the study of God, wrapping our minds around the understanding of who God is. And when it comes to that aspect of theology, we have the systematic theology. Oh, God help me, I pray I don't forget. We have systematic theology. We have practical theology. And we also have biblical theology. And we also have historical theology. Systematic theology stems from the idea of themes, the idea of topics. It might not necessarily be in essence of biblical context, but can be seen from different religions, pointing to topics that highlight a strong understanding of who God is. We have the historical theology, pointing to events, pointing to people from the past that give us a strong conviction that there is God. Then we have the practical theology, the understanding that God has called us to fulfill a purpose. And that purpose can come by way of social justice, can come by way of education, by come by way of expressing his purpose for his glory. But within all these aspects of theology, I believe there is need for a solid foundation. And that foundation for me is biblical theology. If you want to know who God is, it is best to go to what he has written of himself. If you want to understand who God is, it is best to go to the source, what he has said about himself. So in definition, I said, biblical theology refers to the pursuit of understanding and articulating the revelation of God as presented by the Bible, within the Bible text and context. The beauty of biblical theology is that it serves a wonderful foundation for every systematic, historical, and practical approach to expressing God in your life. Biblical theology says we can understand who God is by looking at the Bible, looking at the verses, and understanding what he says about himself. So I highlighted two major points. Biblical theology presents a progressive revelation of God from Genesis to Revelation through the historical and literary context of Scripture, which is culminated in the perfect revelation of Christ as God's radiance and representation. We understood the place of the Word, that the Word of God was in pre-existence in Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word pre-existed before creation. It is through the Word that everything was made. Then beyond the place of pre-existence, we see the Word coming into form. The Wordness coming into form is what we may have as the letter of the Word. The letter of the Word is what has been given to us for our reading, for our understanding, and to encourage us in our walk with the Lord. And there's a place of the now Word. Even as you meditate on God's Word, there is a time when the Word of God comes alive in you, giving you direction for the now. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. In the book of Isaiah, he says, you shall hear a word behind you saying, go this way, go that way. The Word of God beyond the place of reading provides guidance, not just for your spiritual growth, but for every aspect of your life. It is very important. And even as we see the culmination of the revelation of God in his Word, it's very important to point to what Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3 says. That if you want to really understand who Jesus is, if you want to really understand who God is, look at Jesus. If you really want to understand who God is, look at Jesus. He is the perfect representation. He is the radiance of the invisible God. Amen. And in the understanding, the second point I wrote, beyond the place of enriching the honorable art of teaching and preaching, biblical theology provides believers with the opportunity to know God by his nature and character, as shown in his Word, for a better understanding of his purpose for all of his creation, including us. If you really want to understand what you were made for, if you really want to understand who you are, it is better to go to who made you. I'm going to take that again. If you really want to understand the purpose for which you were made and the life that has been granted to you, it is better to go to the one who is the author and finisher of your life. Amen. So even as we have built this understanding of biblical theology, I want us to look at theology in the book of Isaiah. What has God said about himself in the book of Isaiah? What has God said about himself in the book of Isaiah? And the first thing I want us to understand is this. God revealed himself as the holy God and as the Redeemer. God revealed himself as the holy God and as the Redeemer. Reading from Isaiah 43 verse 3. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. One of the most important things we need to understand is the holiness of God. Holiness is the idea, the knowledge, the understanding that there is no sin in God. There is no evil in God. That he is righteous. That he is right. with reference to our relationship with God, there are three pillars that govern this relationship. That the Lord is holy, that the Lord is good, and that the Lord is love. Once you understand this, you build a solid understanding of your relationship with the Lord. He is holy, meaning that everyone who must come to Him must be by themselves holy. And that is not done. You cannot by your works be holy. So the only means that you may attain holiness and righteousness is in Christ Jesus. So John chapter 14 verse 6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody goes to the Father except by me. There is no way to be in right standing with Jesus Christ, except with God, except through Jesus. Nobody can cleanse you. Nobody can make you holy except Jesus. There is no other way to go to the Father except through Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And the Father God is good. Everything He does is good. His working of redemption was for our good. He sent His Son to die for you and I because He is good. Amen. Then we go to the second point. The God who is present and protects. The Lord who is present and protects. Let's read Isaiah 41 verse 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. We need to understand this, that God, beyond the place of being holy, beyond the place of being our Redeemer and Savior, tells us that He is with us. He will not leave you nor forsake you. And in His presence is protection. What is it that causes you to be afraid? What is that thing that causes you sleepless nights? Why are you worried? God is with you. The Lord is with you. His presence is with you. And that is why it's important to understand the role of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit has been given unto us as a comforter and as a helper, that we will never be alone. And seeing that the Holy Spirit is by Himself God, God is forever with us. And in His presence, we have protection. There are many things that go on in our life that we may not understand. But the beauty of this is that God protects us beyond what we know. Do not in any way think the Lord does not care about you. What is that you are going through that will make you think that the Lord is not watching, that the Lord is not with you? God is with you. Not only is He with you, He is working His will in your life. Irrespective of the storms of life, the Lord's glory will still be revealed. Irrespective of the challenges of life, the Lord's glory will still be revealed. Be encouraged from this fact. Just as Jesus said, my Father has been working from the beginning. God has been working from time immemorial concerning your life. He never sleeps nor slumbers. The third point with reference to who God is, highlighted in the book of Isaiah, is the God of comfort and restoration. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for her sins. What is that mistake that you made in the past? What is that problem that seems to have ravished your life of that blessing? Be comforted. What is that you have lost because of your mistakes? Be comforted. What is that seemingly makes you think my life could have been better? Be comforted. For Christ, for God, is more than enough. And he's able to restore every single second that the canker worm has stolen away. What is that that seemingly is weighing you down? Is it your children? Is it your work? Is it your life purpose? The Lord is able to accomplish in one day what people may take 10 years to accomplish. The Lord is able to accomplish in one day what would take 10 years for other people to accomplish. One night, our brother Joseph slept in the prison. The next night, he woke up in the palace. It is not beyond God's ability to turn things around. What is that you have done in the past that seemingly is weighing you down? Is it that abortion? Is it that issue with that family? Is it that divorce? Your life is never wasted in Christ. The Lord is able to redeem your life and cause you to reveal His glory once you are submitted to Him. Submit to the Lord. Submit to the Lord. Can I hear someone say a big amen? You guys are very quiet. I'm wondering if you are sleeping or just listening. Amen. So the fourth point I want to highlight is the supremacy and the sovereignty of God. Isaiah 46, 9 to 10. He says, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from the ancient times, things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand. I will accomplish my purpose." Turn to someone, tell the person, God has a purpose for you. Shake someone by the shoulder, tell the person, God has a purpose for you. When God was creating you, He didn't create you in a vacuum. God is not now thinking, what am I doing with my son James? Oh, I don't know yet. No. The Bible says, before you were formed in your mother's womb, He knew you. Before you were formed in your mother's womb, God knew you. And He had established a purpose for your life. Before you came into the world, God knew you. In the book of Acts, He says, I established the boundaries of men. It's God was very intentional in giving you that particular country you are coming from. God was very intentional about the family you are born into. There is a reason God gave you your specific parents. There's a reason God gave you these specific children. Don't be too quick to dismiss the blessings of God because you do not understand. Appreciate where you come from. Appreciate the blessings of God. If you are married and you are sitting beside your husband or wife, turn to your husband or wife, tell the person, thank you. Tell your husband, thank you. Tell your wife, thank you. Both of you are not married. Why are you saying thank you to each other? The reason I'm saying this is there is beauty even sometimes through the storm. The presence of challenges does not mean you are on the wrong direction. Sometimes the presence of challenges actually mean you are headed the right direction. Sometimes you ask, what sort of siblings do I have? You know, I am the last born. How many of you are last borns here? It's not so nice being the last born. I don't know if you've realized. But it's not so nice being the last born. I used to do everything. I used to wash all the bowls. I used to be the last to eat ice cream. It wasn't so nice.
You know, sometimes people say, were you bullied in school? I was not bullied in school. I was bullied in my own home. Sometimes you ask yourself, what sort of brothers did God give me? What sort of sister did God give me? Sometimes you look at your brother and you ask, Father, change my family. But there is a reason God gave you that brother. There is a reason God gave you that sister. Don't let the devil destroy your family. Don't let the devil destroy your relationship. There is a reason why your brother can say to you what nobody else can say to you. There is a reason why you were blessed so that you can be a blessing to your family. Forgive. 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 God is sovereign and He is intentional about your life. His counsel concerning the nations will stand. His counsel concerning you will stand. Don't feel your life is miserable. There is more to your life than you think. The only thing I will crave your indulgence, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Walk with Him. Trust Him. He is more than able. Trust Him. Trust in the Lord. Do not lose hope. Don't give up. Amen. The final point I want to highlight with reference to understanding who God is through the book of Isaiah is that He is a God of His word. In Ghana, we have, for many of you that don't know, I'm Ghanaian. Although some people think I'm Indian, I'm Ghanaian. I don't know why. When people look at my hair, they think I'm Indian. I'm not Indian. We have an Indian. Where is he? He's not here. Where is Josh? Yes. We have an Indian here. Yeah. I'm not Indian, but I love lemon chicken. Yeah. And curry. There's one I forgot. Next year, God willing, in February, we'll be having an outreach to India with other international fellowships. India, Sri Lanka, Nepal, and one other country. If you want to visit some of these countries for the sake of the gospel, you can surely go. But it's very important to understand this, that in the light of who you are, in the light of who the Lord has made you, the Lord may have spoken His word unto you. And it may seem that it's taking a long time to come into manifestation. And because of that, some people give up. Sometimes you read the scripture and you are like, is this really for all believers? But the Lord is a God of His word. I am Ghanaian. And in Ghana, we have quite a number of percentages who are affiliated to the ATR, African Traditional Religion. One of the strong faculties of the African traditional religion is animism, where people believe that everything is imbibed by a spirit. So you go to certain tribes and a stone represents their god. As I was in the university studying religion, we visited some shrines. And when we went to one of the shrines, we sat with so many gods, with a small g. And I asked the priest, so do the gods speak? And he said, why do you ask that question? And he said, I hope you are not trying to be funny. And I said, I really want to know, do they speak? He did not answer me. Because I know the answer. They don't speak. They have ears, but they have drawn ears. But they can't hear. Going to Sri Lanka in 2017, at the airport, I met this man with a huge bag. And as we were in the waiting area, He opened the bag, and it was an artifact that looked like a god with a small g. And he started cleaning it. And I sat there in pity. Which god needs to be carried around in a suitcase? Which god needs to be cleaned? One of the beauty of the God whom we serve is that he is alive. He is alive, not just by assumption, but through historical and scientific claim. Over 500 people saw Jesus walk the face of the earth. He did not only appear to his disciples, but to all those who were willing to receive him within that time, showing himself that he was alive. And many are the conspiracies seeking to prove that he is not. But I'm here to tell you, he is alive. Our God is alive and he speaks. He is alive. He is living. And he is ministering and working things for his glory in your life. Jesus is alive. Not just seated at the right hand of the Father, but he's alive in you. When people seek to find Jesus, may they find Jesus in you. May they find Jesus in the way you talk. May they find Jesus in the way you behave. There's a song my mom loved. I think I sang it the last time. He's alive, amen. He's alive. Jesus is alive forever. He's alive, amen. He's alive, amen. He's alive. Jesus is alive forever. He's alive, amen. And by his resurrection, by his life, we can also have life. By his word, we also have life. The essence of life received in Christ is first in himself. That they that have Christ have life. Do you have Jesus? Have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Have you submitted to his word? Do you acknowledge that you are sinful and you cannot save yourself by your own accord? Accept Jesus and live. The second point of life in Christ is his word. That by feasting on his word, we have life. Be mindful what you expose yourself to. What is that you are consuming? Many people now, we watch movies more than we read our Bible. We spend time at parties more than we fellowship with the Lord. Jesus said, the words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Let the word of God dwell in you richly. Wherever the word of God is, there is life. Depression cannot stay where the word of God is. The word of God brings direction. There's another aspect of the word of God, which is the word of God spoken to you. And again, what has the Lord spoken to you? Which scripture are you holding on to? What Bible verse are you holding on to? This is yours. Isaiah 55, verse 10 to 11. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the things for which I sent it. The word of God unto you will come to pass. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. It says, for the word of God is for an appointed time. Don't give up. Don't give up. Are you trusting the Lord for marriage? Don't give up. Are you trusting the Lord for graduation? Don't give up. Are you trusting the Lord for healing? Don't give up. Hold on to His word. Are you trusting the Lord for children? Don't give up. Are you trusting the Lord that someone in your family will be born again? Don't give up. Hold on to the word of God. His word is true. And His promises are yes and amen. So in conclusion, someone say conclusion. Be encouraged. Turn to someone, tell the person, be encouraged. In fact, shake someone by the hand, tell the person, my brother, my sister, be encouraged. Shake someone by the shoulder, tell the person, be encouraged. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. I want you to be encouraged. As you leave here, be encouraged. Be encouraged that the Lord is with you. Be encouraged that the Lord is working His will in your life. Be encouraged that the time of the Lord is coming. And I want to read Isaiah 60 verse 22. The ESV says, the least one shall become a clan, and the smallest a mighty nation. I am the Lord. In its time, I will hasten it. But for a better understanding, let's look at the NLT. It says, the smallest family will become 1,000 people. And the tiniest group will become a mighty. And it says this, at the right time, I, the Lord, will do what? At the right time, He, the Lord, will do what? He will make it happen. Did it say you will make it happen? What do you have that you can make it happen? He, the Lord, will make it happen. When the time is right, He, the Lord, will make it happen. But then, there's an adjective that you find in the NIV. Let's read together. The least of you will become 1,000. The smallest a mighty nation. I am the Lord. In its time, I will do this swiftly. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Let's stand to our feet. And at this point, I want you to bow down your head and begin to speak to the Lord your God. Bow down your head and speak to God. And you want to tell the Lord, Father, I trust you. Tell the Lord, Father, I trust you. What is that you are believing the Lord for? What is that you are trusting the Lord for? This is who the Bible says God is. This is who God is in the book of Isaiah. He is the Holy God, our Redeemer. What is the situation? God is able to save. What is the issue? God is able to save. He is the God who is present. He is the God who protects. God will not leave you nor forsake you. He will protect you. He will guide you. He will deliver you. Are you worried about your children? Commit them to the hand of the Lord. Pray that the Lord should protect them. Are you worried about your future? Ask the Lord, Father, I commit my future into your hands. I commit my future into your hands. Are you worried about your marriage? Tell the Lord, Father, I commit my marriage into your hands. He is the Lord that comforts. He is the Lord that restores. What is that which you have lost? Pray. Tell the Lord, Father, restore. Father, restore. What is that which seemingly you have lost?
Ask the Lord to restore. You invested wrongly. You've lost all your money. The Lord is able to restore. You've lost certain relationships. The Lord is able to restore. Unforgiveness seemingly is ravishing through your family. The Lord is able to restore. The Lord is supreme and sovereign. The Lord has power. What is the issue that you want the Lord to intervene? What is the issue that you want the Lord to intervene? Is it healing you are trusting the Lord for? Pray, tell the Lord, Father, I believe in your word. That indeed you are God and there is none like you. Pray. Tell the Lord, Father, intervene. Intervene in the issue. He is God of his word. He is God of his word. What scripture are you holding on to? What scripture are you holding on to? When the time is due, the Lord will make it happen. When the time is due, the Lord will make it happen. When the time is due, the Lord will make it happen.